man. You just believe when you call on his name. Oh, touching Jesus. Why don't you touch him tonight? Amen. That's all that's going to matter. Amen. Amen. Oh, then your life will never be, never be the same. And there's only one way to touch him. Amen. Oh, just believe when you call on his name. Amen. Won't you reach out and touch him tonight? He's still the high priest that can be touched by the feelings of your infirmities. Father, we're your children tonight, having gathered in your name. Lord, a name that is greater than all names. How we love you tonight and we appreciate you, Lord, as we have sung the songs of Zion and worshiped you tonight. Lord, we pray that you'll just draw near now, Lord, and reveal yourself to us through the word, O God. Ever need supply, Lord. You know the needs of your children. Lord, the situations that are in lives tonight. Lord, you know even about these handkerchiefs that I carry upon my body tonight, Lord, for the sick. Lord, oh God, we read in the scripture they took them from the body of the apostle Paul and laid them on the sick and demons departed. Lord, you're still the same Jesus. We're not apostle Paul, but you're still the same Lord. And that every demon power has to bow before the name of Jesus Christ. I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll move upon your children. Reveal yourself to them through the word, Lord. Anoint us by your spirit, for we can do nothing without you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Amen. Isn't the Lord wonderful? Amen. It's a privilege to be here once more. Amen. We greet you in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We've had an hour or so preliminaries and singing and worship. And now may he speak tonight. Amen. May you have an ear to hear what the Spirit would say. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 is where I want to read from tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. And then I would like you to find the book of Zechariah, and we'll read from chapter 14 and verse 9. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 9, where we want to read from tonight. And if you have not found it, it's on the board for you, so join with me. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Amen. What a wonderful word that we have tonight. God bless you. Can be seated. We read in the book of Deuteronomy tonight where that Israel was commissioned and told to bring the words of the Lord before our children and to teach our children and our children's children. There are some fundamental foundational truths that freed us from the denominational bondage. Just as Israel had been freed from Egyptian bondage. And this freedom set us apart that we could become the bride of Jesus Christ. And there are restored truths that were meant to turn our hearts back to the faith of the fathers. And they did first have to be revealed before they could be restored, because they had been discarded and lost down through 2,000 years of church ages. But now right now we are preaching the apostles' doctrine. We are actually preaching exactly what Peter, Paul, James, John, all of them preached, because we have been restored back to the original faith. It's a wonderful hour that we're living in, a wonderful privilege. We remember that God promised to send Elijah before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And Elijah was a restoring prophet. When he went and the challenge between Baal and Jehovah God, there he restored the altar of Jehovah. And, you know, he didn't go and build a new altar and start a new religion. But he put the stones of neglected truths back in the proper place. Built up the altar, set the sacrifice in its proper place. And when everything was in the place, then God came down and vindicated it with fire. And so, again, we've had an Elijah in this day, and he was exactly that, a restoring prophet. That's why that maybe many of the truths that we believe were preached down through the ages to some degree, because they're not new. You see, what we believe is not, we didn't have to write a new Bible like the Mormons did. Neither did we have to go and rewrite the Bible like the Jehovah's Witness did. You know, because what we found was right laying in the Word of God. And I want you to know that the things that we believe are biblical truths. They were not something that Brother Branham even pulled out of the air and just, preached. But they were things that were in the Scripture. And they are things that are found from the Word of God. We're going to speak tonight on the revelation of who Jesus is. I'm going to speak to you tonight on Jesus, the name above all names. Because we are commissioned by the Word of God to teach our children and our children's children. And to bring them and rehearse them in their ears of the truths and the things that excited us about this message originally. And of course that would be to know the revelation, to know exactly and of who Jesus is. Now, you remember we took the text of Rebekah last night and we heard a wonderful, or last night we heard from Brother Reagan, but the night before, but the last night we were hearing of who is she? Who is this bride? And we had spoken the night before on Rebekah, who said, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." You see, so tonight we're wanting again to look and see who this is that is among us. Because when you get a revelation of Him, you will also see yourself in Him. Now, you see, Jesus, the name above all names, it is the only name that is used in salvation. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow and every tongue confess. I'm going to share with you some things first before we go on, just from the prophet's message, and then we'll get into biblical truths and go into the Scripture. But I just want to just bring out to you what he said about this subject. Just briefly, some of the highlights that I want to point out. But the greatest of all revelations is the supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater revelation. And the revelation of Jesus, of course, is also the revelation of the bride of Christ. And all and any other unfolding revelation of church ages, seals, or whatever else, you see, it's all encapsulated in the person Jesus Christ. Because it is a revelation of Him. You see, now, as you can't get to first base unless you believe in the supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Revelation 1 and 1 begins like this, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, the supreme deity of the revelation of Jesus Christ, as Brother Branham would say in the Patmos vision, who God revealed to him to us, as revealed him to us as the supreme deity, the supreme, the great I am, not the I was or will be, I am always. And we notice in the first chapter of Revelation, what is the revelation of? Jesus Christ. What was the first thing he reveals himself here as? The God of heaven. Not a triune God, but one God. One God. And he reveals himself that way in the first of the revelations and speaks it four times in the first chapter so that there will not be a mistake. The first thing you've got to know is that he is not a prophet. He is not a junior God. He is not a secondary God, but he is God. Now, a little later on in that same sermon, he refers to John getting in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he hears a trumpet sounding. And, the trumpet symbolized that somebody was approaching because he hears this trumpet voice saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Not an announcement of the second party or the third party, but the only party. I am both Alpha and Omega. Before I show you anything, I want to let you know who I am. Amen. So this is the precursor to all other revelations, whether it be of the church ages, the seals, or his coming, or any part that you want to speak of. You must know first of all who he is. And he goes on to say the greatest of all revelations is the deity, the supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get to first base unless you believe that. Walk out. That's what Peter said. Repent and then see the deity. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. And then you're ready to go in the Spirit. The first thing you got to know is the deity of Christ. I am Alpha and Omega. I am from A to Z. There is no more but me. I was at the beginning and I'll be at the end. I am he that was, which is, and shall come, the Almighty. Think of it. That's what the trumpet said. All right, the first of all revelations is the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. You must know who he is when you hear the voice. All right, that same voice that sounded on Mount Sinai, that same voice that sounded on Mount Transfiguration, the same one likened to the Son of Man. Who is he? I am the first and the last. I am the Supreme One. I am the Almighty One. Hallelujah. You come down to the Philadelphian age and he speaks of an open door. And the open door, again, is the revelation of the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. So he said, an open door, what is it? It is a revelation of the supreme deity of Jesus Christ, not being a second person of a Trinity, but being God himself made flesh and dwelling among us. Hallelujah. Now, we all know that Jesus said that he would build a church. But he's going to build it on a rock. And that rock, of course, would be a revelation. Is that right? So, and again, I'm quoting this from Queen of Sheba. Upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't shake it down. Exactly, I'm so glad. A spiritual revelation. The whole church is built on revelation. Upon this rock. The Protestant said he built it upon Christ. The Catholic said build it upon Peter. Both are wrong. He built it upon Peter's revelation of who he was. The great main revelation always is who Jesus Christ is. The book of Revelation, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, opens with that very same thing to show the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. I am he that was and which is and shall come, the Almighty, the first of all revelation. Hallelujah. Now, in the rising of the sun, Brother Branham picks up the picture of the cloud. Now, you know, I realize today that some want to question all about that, but let me just say, you know, we have scoffers that say this one says that, and this one has that opinion, and that has another. But the first time that Brother Branham ever picked up the picture and showed it to his church, in that service, a man who visited my home and gave me the testimony personally by the name of Edmund Way fell dead in the meeting. And at the end of the meeting, after Brother Branham tells about the picture of the cloud and seven angels and then this man, he falls dead at the end of that service, is standing in the gap. And so at the end there, a registered nurse, his wife testified he's dead. Others witnessed that he was dead. Brother Branham walked down and called the man's life back. Amen. Now, I'm just going to tell you, the book of Revelation to the Laodicean age says he's the Amen of God. So every time that Brother Branham would bring his message, God would come behind him and say, Amen. And this time he picks up the picture of the cloud and he tells about it. And God came back along behind it and said, Amen. And raised a man up from the dead. So, before you listen to all these other voices, I just want you to realize there needs to be a requirement of their vindication. Amen. When they raise the dead, then you can believe what they're saying about it. Amen. But he picked up the picture of the cloud and he said, well, if you turn the picture like this, you can probably see it from the audience. It's Christ. And his eyes looking here just as perfect as it could be, wearing the white wig of supreme deity and judge of all heavens and earth. Can you see his eyes, his nose, his mouth? Just turn the picture from this way, the way they had it this way, to the way it's supposed to be. Can you see it? He is supreme judge. There is none other but him. And that is a perfect identification, again, of vindication that this message is the truth. This is the truth. It is true. And making him not a third person, but the only person. Hallelujah. Amen. And what is attraction on the mountain? He again talks about the cloud, the white wig, and what God was showing there, and he said, see the supreme deity, supreme authority. No other voice, no other God, no other nothing. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The angels themselves were his wig. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Notice the sermon title. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Therefore, if any Trinitarian would just let yourself loose a minute, you can see that Father and Son and Holy Ghost is not three gods. It's three attributes of the same God. It is expression. Father, he was. He wanted to be a father. He was a father. He was a son. And he is the Holy Ghost. And Father and the Holy Ghost is the same Spirit. Don't you see it? You get it? Not three gods. The devil has told you them things to make an idolater out of you. It's one God expressed in three attributes
to be Father, to be Savior, to be Son, to be Healer. It is His expression. God expressed in Jesus Christ, who was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. Now the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in His church. The preeminence. All that God was, He poured into Christ. And all that Christ was poured into the church. The believers. Hallelujah. So you see, Jesus was not the second person of God. He was the person of God. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the full manifested God. Amen. Amen. So that's who He is. Now, God is one who reveals Himself in an expanding revelation. The truth of Godhead is that there is one supreme eternal being known as the Father, and He manifests Himself in the flesh, in the Son, Jesus Christ. And it was this same eternal Spirit that also manifested Himself as the Holy Ghost and who dwells in us. That is, if we're born again by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it was the eternal Spirit that revealed Himself as God above us. And then he would reveal Himself through His prophets and manifest Himself by His word coming down through the prophets through the ages. And for He revealed Himself as God above us. And then God with us. And then God in us. God above us as He revealed Himself in His creation. And through the Old Testament. And then God with us as He manifested Himself in Christ. And then God in us in the form of the indwelling Spirit within the believer. Amen. Same God all the time. Now in each of these dispensations, God revealed Himself to us as Father, God above us, Son, God with us, and Holy Spirit, God in us. So there are not three persons of God, but these are rather three manifestations of the same great eternal being. Now God is a God of unfolding revelation. In Genesis 1, the Bible begins with God. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis 2 and 4, it goes on and expands this revelation and says these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth where they were created in the day that the Lord God, which is Jehovah Elohim, made the earth and the heavens. Amen. Now, notice now, again, it was an expanding revelation. Schofield, who was a renowned scholar, he said concerning this verse, the primary meaning of the name Lord, Jehovah, is a self-existing one. Literally, as in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, He that is who He is, therefore the eternal I am. But Hava, from which Jehovah or Yahweh is formed, signifies also to become. That is, to become known. Thus pointing to a continuous and increasing self-revelation. So the name Jehovah then would mean the self-existing one who reveals Himself. Amen. So there again, it's a continuous and increasing self-revelation. And that's what you're seeing down through the Bible. Is God revealing Himself. Now God is a God who has continually been unfolding Himself down through the ages in His revelation. He was first known to Abram as Lord, Jehovah, and was called by that name. Is that right? Amen. Abram said in Genesis 12:1, and you can write the scriptures down or however you want to do it, but we're going to go through them very rapidly tonight. But in Genesis 12:1, now, the Lord had said unto Abram, now this is where He revealed Himself to Abram as Lord or as Jehovah, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. The Lord revealing Himself to Abram. In verse 8, He said, and He removed from there unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched His tent. having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So it was the name of Jehovah that Abram called upon. Amen. In Genesis 14, 18, there was one by the name of Melchizedek. And Paul speaks about him that he was without beginning of days or ending of life. Amen. But that he was a high priest unto God continually. He was the eternal one. Right? Amen. And there it speaks of him, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. Amen. This again was God revealing himself as intercessor, as a priest. Amen. That he would also manifest when Jesus Christ came in order that in the same order of the same priesthood of the lineage of Melchizedek. Amen. Now, so God revealed himself or unfolded himself again. And this time was as El Shaddai. Amen. Now, this was not another person, and it wasn't another God, but rather another unfolding of his personage. Amen. A continuation of his revelation. So in Genesis 17 and 1, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord, which is Jehovah, appeared to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. Amen. Now, again, he says, I am the Almighty. The Almighty in the Hebrew is translated from the word Shaddai, which means Almighty, most powerful. But I want you to notice now, again, he is known in the Bible here as Elohim. He is known there as Lord God, which is Jehovah Elohim. And then he's known again to Abram as Jehovah. And then he's known again as Melchizedek. And then he's revealed now as, he says, I am the Almighty God. I am El Shaddai. And no matter what form or what name that God revealed himself to Abraham, Abraham knew that there was but one God. Hallelujah. In all of these manifestations, whether it was Jehovah or Melchizedek, or as in Genesis 17, El Shaddai, that there never was three different gods or multiple deities in the mind of Abraham. He knew it was the same God that was revealing himself in a different manner. Hallelujah. Now the name is of great importance. It was the name of God that was revealed down through time. Now, this prompted Brother Branham to say, every time a victory is won or something goes on, a name is changed. So God would expand the revelation of his name. Amen. He would reveal himself and his deity as to what he was doing. And in doing so, he would take on another name. Amen. He revealed himself as priest in Melchizedek. He comes later and reveals himself as El Shaddai, which is Almighty God, and Jehovah, which is the self-existing one. Amen. And whatever manifestation it was only one God. And encapsulated in the name was a revelation of what he was doing at that time. Hallelujah. Now down to the ages. There have been men who have received changes of name. Sarah, for example, was a barren woman until her name was changed from Sarai, which meant barren, to Sarah, which meant a princess. Amen? Now, barren wouldn't be a good name for a mother of a race, the queen of a race. Amen? But she was going to be, in God's plan, she was to be the princess or the queen of a race. And her name had to be changed from someone barren to a name that revealed what God was going to do in her life. So you see, in her new name was a revelation of what God was going to do in her life. Same with Jacob. His name was deceiver or supplanter. And that's what he did until God came along and gave him a new name. Hallelujah. And that name signified what God was going to do in him, because his new name was Israel, and Israel means a prince with God. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, deceiver didn't fit who he really was and what God had plans for his life. Hallelujah. Now, down through the Bible. Let me fix this here just a minute. Down through the Bible, you can see the character of a person is being displayed in the name. For example, Simon was a fisherman. But when his faith was aroused, when Jesus told him that he was the Messiah and told him who his name was and what his father's name was, he was overcome and was changed from Simon to Peter. Right? Saul was a good name for a king one time, but it didn't fit an apostle. Amen. So his name was changed from Saul to Paul. Now, so when God changes the name of a person, it is revealing something about what he's going to do in that person's life. And the message from God always reveals who he is. The word interpreted is a manifestation of the name of God. Amen. Now, this is what God did when he spoke his word to Moses. In that great message there, he spoke to Moses. God revealed his name. And his name contained a message expressing what he was going to accomplish at that time when he came down to bring deliverance to the children of Israel. Amen. So in Exodus 6, I want you to see, as you turn there to Exodus chapter 6, there's something very peculiar there in that scripture. And if you're not careful, you'll just question mark it and go on, gloss it over. But I want you to notice as we read this together, how many times God declares what he's going to do and how he's going to express himself. So in verse 1 of Exodus 6, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will. What's all these words? I will, I will, I will, I will. God wanted them to know, who is this? Amen. Amen. He wanted to know who this is. It's a revelation of deity. Now remember Israel had been down in Egypt for 400 years. Amen. And they had seen, if we would call it, the power of the Egyptian gods. Amen. The God of the Nile that brought prosperity and fertility. Beelzebub, who controlled all the bugs and everything else. He's the God of the flies. All of these other things that they prayed to, and it looked like that all of those gods was greater than this Jehovah that they talked about 400 years ago that nobody had seen or heard from until God sent a prophet. And God was going to call an exodus. Hallelujah. Amen. So the very thing that God has to do is destroy the power of those gods. So the first thing, here is Pharaoh. He is the cobra. Upon his emblem is the cobra. And here he comes, Moses comes down, and he says, I have power over you. And he casts his rod down and it becomes a serpent. And he picks it up. It obeys him. What was he saying to Pharaoh? You are under my power. Amen. I've got you around the throat, Pharaoh. You're going to let my people go. Hallelujah. Amen. So they threw down their rods and his just ate them up. Because no matter what power they tried to display, the rod of Moses ate up the power of Pharaoh. So he walks out there to the Nile God and he, that had brought their fertility and said, there'll be no life in you. You're dead. Amen. And what happened? It turned to blood. Is that right? Amen. And then he called for flies. And Beelzebub, the fly god, could not keep them away. Amen. Because he had power over the fly god. He had power over the Nile. He had power over the cobra. And he was showing to Israel, your God Jehovah is God. That there is no God like Jehovah. And beside him, there is no other. Hallelujah. If that happened in that Exodus, that's exactly what takes place in this Exodus. Hallelujah. So he says, you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go. And with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said, I am the Lord. Amen. He's declaring, I am Jehovah. Now verse 3 is where it kind of gets a little bit strange. And I've appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, which is El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. I revealed myself to them as El Shaddai, or as God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now, I'm just reading you the Bible. Now, he's making known to Israel, though, what the name of the God is that is going to deliver them. Amen. He wants them to know in what name is salvation or deliverance. Amen. And he said, and I have, what's he saying? Just mark down all these eyes. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, which the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Hallelujah. Amen. What about a day when he would remember his promise? Amen. That they which are alive and remain will not hinder those that are asleep. Amen. What about the promise that he made? Amen. That he would find faith on the earth. And knowing there wouldn't be a faith on the earth, that it'd be a faithless generation, he sends Elijah to turn our hearts back to faith again. I have remembered my covenant. Now, God's making it clear. It is I. And I'm going to reveal myself to Israel, something about myself that they've never seen before. Amen. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, Jehovah. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. And I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And I will take you, I love this, to me for a people. And I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am Jehovah, your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into a land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord. Amen. Don't you know he's promised something to us? A land, not a physical land, but the position that Adam fell from. The position of sonship. Hallelujah. Amen. That heavenly place that we were preaching about. I have appeared in the past, he says, to Abraham and Isaac, to Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But in this case, my name, Jehovah, is going to be made known to them. I'm going to reveal myself to them in the name Jehovah. Now, listen, folks. Let me divert just for a moment, and we'll come back to this. But people's names in the Bible were not chosen just because it was pleasant to the sound like we do today. Amen. That's right. Amen. I know today there's a real popular name going around. It's Reagan. And they're naming their little girls Reagan. Now, I think turn around, but turnabout is fair play. I'm looking for some boys to be named Pruitt. So, you know, you think of a name of a child and you say a certain name and it sounds good. You know, you find something that sounds good with a last name. But that's not the way they named in the Old Testament. Saints had a special purpose in mind when they were naming their children. And the name they chose often declared the circumstances surrounding the child's birth, or maybe the hope that the parent had for their child. You know, so names in the Bible days represented something about the nature of that individual. It revealed something about that person's character. Amen. And remember how Jacob's name, supplanter, had to be changed to Israel. And as long as he was called a deceiver, he lived it out. Is that right? Now, often the name was changed as an indication of a person's change of nature or a change of calling. When God would finally reveal his calling to them, their name would get changed. Now, so too was God's name indicative of his nature and his character. So, because again, the word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. So note how God spoke to Moses regarding his name. Let's look back at verse 3 again. And I appeared unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now we know we got a lot of Bible readers here, and you're sitting there puzzling, scratching your head, and saying, well, listen, Abraham used the name Jehovah. He called on the name of Jehovah, but Abraham didn't know the full significance of that name. He didn't know God is the God of deliverance. Amen. And when God delivered Israel, they were going to know him in a new way. In a way that name had never been expressed before as Jehovah the Deliverer. So God was saying, I have come down to express my name in a greater way than what I have in the past. And what I'm doing in my people is actually an expression of my name. And encapsulated in my name is a revelation of what I'm doing. Amen. I'm going to come down to you, Israel, and I'm going to make my name, Jehovah, known to you in a much greater way. With a greater depth than what Abraham knew it, than Jacob or Isaac. Because you're going to know me as deliverer. I will. This is what I'm going to do. So now down through the scripture, God has progressively more and more revealed his character to mankind, and it was often expressed by a new name. Amen. For example, when Abraham offered the ram, and a ram appeared, and God provided a ram. Amen. He called himself Jehovah Jireh. Amen. God was expressing himself by a new name. Amen. They were seeing, Abraham was seeing a depth to Jehovah that had not been revealed before. Amen. Jehovah Rapha means God our healer. When people wanted to know more about God himself, they sought to know his name. Amen. Now that's why Moses said, who am I going to tell them that has sent me? And he said, I am Jehovah. I am that I am who I am. The self-existing one. He's the one that's going to do it. I'm going to accomplish this. And in doing so, I will unfold a revelation of myself. I'm going to reveal myself as deliverer to the children of Israel. Jehovah the deliverer. Hallelujah. Now, all down through the ages, when people want to know his name. Amen. Who is this we honor? Who do we give credit to all of this? We want to know his name. What is his name? Now, Genesis 32, 29, Jacob asked him, said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Judges 13 and 70, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. In 1 Kings 8, 43, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for that all the people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people Israel. And that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. Hallelujah. Now, the interpreter's dictionary of the Bible says, to know the name of God is to know God as he has revealed himself. So when use of God's name in the Old Testament has a revelatory content. In other words, God is revealing himself. He's revealing himself in his name. Amen. So Jehovah coming on the earth and dwelling here in the man Christ Jesus took upon himself an unfolding of the name Jehovah. Amen. So you turn to Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Listen, God was naming his son. Is that right? And thou shalt call his name Jesus. And again, it is the word Jehovah. It is Jehovah the Savior. Amen. Here he was expanding and unfolding the name of the same God, Jehovah, the name of God, to show that now God was coming with us. Hallelujah. There had been a change that had taken place. He was no longer just God above us, anointing the prophets, but now he was God with us. And why will they call him Jehovah Savior? For he shall save his people from their sins. That's why his name is Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. Jehovah the Savior. So when he came to earth, he was coming as Savior. So God took on a name that would characterize and reveal his redemptive work. Yes, he had been spoken of as a redeemer in the Old Testament, but mankind had never known him fully as redeemer, as man had never been redeemed. You see, there was no full redemption in the Old Testament. Israel had only been redeemed out of bondage, Egyptian bondage, or Babylonian bondage, but they still needed redemption from sin. And that was a greater bondage than the slavery down in Egypt. Amen. Now, they knew God in that sense as a Savior from their physical bondage. Amen. But there was a greater sense of redemption that which would be the redemption of the soul. Amen. Not just a physical delivered from physical slavery, but spiritual slavery. And for salvation, you would be required to know Him in the revelation of His name. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? For salvation, you would be required to know Him in the revelation of His name. Now, this was important because the Jewish believers, they had to know God as Savior. And they had never been saved from their sins. When Jesus came, those Jewish believers, as I said, had to know God as Savior, not as God above us, expressing Himself through the prophets. Amen. A God in heaven. But now they had to know God who had now come to earth. Amen. And now that God would become the Redeemer. Amen. Now, those Jews had to know Him in a revelation of the expression of His name for redemption. They could not just know Him any longer as the Jehovah of the Old Testament. They now had to know Him as the Jehovah of the New Testament. Amen. And the Jehovah of the New Testament was Jehovah's Savior, Jesus, Jehovah, who had come down to save. And they had to know Him in the revelation of that name as He was revealed in Christ. Now, when Saul, later known as Paul, repented, Ananias instructed him and said, "Now why tarriest thou? You know, rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Amen. Now, what was the name of the Lord? What name was he going to call him? He was told for his sins to be washed away, to arise and be baptized, call it on the name of the Lord, invoking the name of the Lord. Amen. Now, just a few days earlier, Paul had asked the same question in Acts 9 and 5, said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." Hallelujah. So Jesus revealed himself to Paul as the Lord. And Paul knew about the Lord God of the Old Testament, but at the same time he didn't serve Jesus of the New Testament. But he learned right there that the Lord of the Old Testament was the same Lord of the New Testament. And to his amazement, the name of the Lord was Jesus. You know, some of you sitting there say, "Oh, come on now, Brother Tim, you're elementary preacher today." And, you know, some of you snoozing on your seat for a minute. And this is all old news to you and me. This is something we learned from the cradle. Things we learned on our mother's knees. Everybody knows of Jesus. Knows that he came to save. But in that day, it wasn't old news. This had never happened before. And this was totally something different. And they were having trouble seeing it. Because when God begins to operate under another manifestation of His name, people have difficulty seeing it. Even the elect sometimes have trouble with it. Especially with the blinding of the age. Look at the parallel. Here He was revealing Himself in the expression of His name, Jehovah, Savior, and He came down to His own, and His own would not receive Him in the name Jesus. As Jehovah, Savior, Jesus, they wouldn't receive Him. But if Jesus had come as a prophet, preaching about Jehovah, they would have received Him. If He would have come like Moses or Elijah, preaching about Jehovah, the Old Testament, they would receive Him. But Jehovah had come as Savior, and there would not be any salvation in any other name. You would have to know Him by this name. John 8:23, and he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Come on. Amen. This was no wishy-washy hour and time where you could pick and choose. Jesus was clearly saying, unless you recognize me as the Savior, as Jehovah's Savior, you will die in your sins. And that still holds true today. Now, Jehovah had spoke to the prophets, but now God was speaking through His Son, His creation, the man Christ Jesus. In times past, there was only one God, and He spoke through His prophets. But in that day, it was one God, and He spoke through Jesus Christ. So just as the name of God was stressed in the Old Testament, so the name of God was stressed and exalted in the New Testament. And the same tendency to exalt God's name and to praise and to call upon His name in the Old Testament reading is continued right on in the New Testament reading. But this name mentioned and stressed and exalted and praised is Jesus. Amen. Now, this in itself proves that the name of Jesus is indeed the name of the God of the Old Testament. Because you cannot find another name stressed so highly besides the name Jesus in the New Testament. Amen. Now in Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, and when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Did you notice this? The early church preached in such a manner that it caused the onlookers and even the critics to comment about how much they preached the name of Jesus. This is what they preach. They preach over and over and over the name of Jesus. And the prevailing revelation at that time was God is with us. And God had become our Savior. That Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament, had become flesh and become our Savior. Not to save us from physical bondage, but from the spiritual bondage of sin. Now, what in the world could those disciples have possibly been saying that it would cause such descriptions of themselves as that they were accused over and over and over again of exalting the name of Jesus? Well, you know, we can read some of the passages in the book of Acts and find out. Acts 4 and 10. Be it known to you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. That was after the healing of the man at the gate called Beautiful. But when they had commanded them to go aside, verse 15, to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it, but that it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth from now on to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now listen, they didn't care how much they declared Jehovah, the God of the Old Testament. But they could not see Him in His unfolding revelation. And it was Jesus, Jehovah's Savior. And yet without that name, they couldn't be saved. Amen. The apostles stressed that name. In Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. This was the reputation of the New Testament saints. Amen. They were accused over and over and over again of using this name, worshiping this name, preaching salvation in this name. As seen in Acts 4, the name was literally preached. It was stressed. Now that's not so today among many churches. Due to the Trinitarian doctrine that shadows over the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The understanding of it being the supreme name revealing God's character is lost among the Trinitarians. They merely attribute the name Jesus to being the name of the second person, not God in totality. Amen. Amen. But Jesus told us what name he would come in. In John 5:43, he said, I come in my Father's name. So he's saying, the one who created this body, the one who brought me into life, my Father, I come in his name, and you receive me not. And if another come in his own name, him you will receive. And it's true, they can come in the name of Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, but they don't want to come in his name. Amen. Now he said, I come in my Father's name. Now, what is the name of the Father? Revelation 14:1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood upon the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name in their forehead. Now notice this, the Father's name was to be written in their forehead. In other words, their identity was going to be this name. Amen. They were identified with this name. They are going to be people of his name. Are you with me? Go with me to Revelation 22 and verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name, what name? The Lamb's name shall be in their foreheads. Amen. The name of what? The name of the Lamb. Who is the Redeemer? Who is the Lamb? Come on. The name of Jesus, which was God the Father, the Spirit's name. Jesus. Amen. And because now the Father, the Spirit, was living in the man, Christ Jesus. And Jesus, that very frame, bore the name of the one who created the human frame to come and live in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the same name that was in there was the Father's name is the Son's name. Is that right? Now the church is to have his name. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now this was stressed throughout the early church. And it was God's intention for those who were saved to be known by the name of Jesus. Every child of God is to bear his name. Now, doesn't that just make sense? Come on. Every child of a man is to bear his name. Every child of God is to bear his name. Amen. Acts 15, verse 14. As Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. God wants a people called by his name. Amen. So these would be a people that identified them by him, and their identity would be his name. And the Father's name, the Lamb's name, would be in their forehead. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus is the highest name. I want you to get this. Jesus is the highest name of God ever revealed to mankind. You will never get to first base if you don't believe in the supreme deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the supreme revelation of God today. No other name of God has been so full of God's glory, thus revealing His nature to mankind. Amen. As much as the name Jesus, no matter whether He was expressed as El Shaddai or Melchizedek or Elohim or as Jehovah of the Old Testament, Jesus, He literally means Jehovah salvation. And it is the fullness of the revelation of God as Redeemer. And that name encompasses all the former revelations of God. Amen. Because He is Melchizedek. And He is El Shaddai. And He is Jehovah Jireh. And He is Jehovah Nissi. And He is Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Everything is encapsulated in that one name, Jesus. Hallelujah. The name of Jesus is the highest of all names. There is not a greater revelation of God than in Jesus Christ. And from Him comes every other subsequent revelation. Hallelujah. Now, if the name Jesus is God incarnate, then Jesus is the greatest name ever revealed. Amen. Now, Matthew 1 reveals this. Matthew 1, 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Jehovah shall save his people from their sins. Amen. This is the greatest thing to be released from sin's bondage. Greater than being released from Egyptian, Babylonian, or Roman bondage. But the bondage of Satan, to be set free from sin. And only in Jesus can that be done. Amen. Even the former names of Jehovah is Jehovah Rapha, or Jehovah Nissi, or Jehovah Jireh, or El Shaddai, or Melchizedek. Never in any of those names was there salvation from sin. Salvation from sin is only in the name Jesus. And without that, you cannot be saved. Now that might be become common, but the name of Jesus is the greatest name above all names. There is no other name like Jesus. There is no higher name than Jesus. Hallelujah. This name was given as a direct fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And in Matthew 1:23, behold, here's the direct fulfillment of that prophecy. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. Literally, God was with humanity since God himself was incarnate in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now there are two parts to the name Jesus. Amen. Jehovah and Savior. Amen. And in that you see the fulfillment of Emmanuel, which includes two parts. God with us. Amen. Jehovah Savior. God with us. Now, that is the fulfillment of Jehovah Savior. God, Jehovah, coming down and taking on human battles. God coming down himself to deliver you from that slave owner, that devil that had rule over you by your first birth. Because here he's coming now as Savior to save you from your sins. And the name Jesus encapsulates all the character and identity of God, since the name Jehovah is included in that name, the name Jesus. It's simply another manner of extending the revelation of himself. Just as he did in his in the Old Testament has called himself Jehovah Provider, Jehovah Healer. Moses saw a characteristic of God that Abraham didn't see, that being of deliverance. All the New Testament saints have seen a characteristic of God that was never fully revealed to the Old Testament, and that was salvation. They had many great revelations and call a fire down out of heaven and open up the waters and the Red Sea and this and that and the other. Come on. Many great miraculous things, but they didn't have salvation from sin. And since salvation is the greatest revelation ever given to man, the name of Jesus is the highest name ever given. Because it was Jesus, Jehovah, coming to save, and without him there would be no salvation. And that's why Paul would say in Philippians 2 and 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So now if you've been questioned about the name of Jesus being the greatest and highest name, then that is what the Bible teaches. Amen. That gave him a name which is above every name. Melchizedek, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, El Shaddai. The name of Jesus is higher than any other revelation of God, where he became a Savior to save you from your sin. Hallelujah. Now, so Paul said that Jesus is the name above every other name, including every other name that God had previously revealed himself. So if Jesus, now listen to me now, if Jesus is not God's name, then we have a person who possesses a name that is greater than God's own name. He was the characteristics of the name of God revealed in human flesh. Jesus is the highest revelation of God. And in that revelation, you were included. Hallelujah. Because you were the mystery that was hidden in him. Just as Eve was hidden in Adam and was a mystery in her, you were in him. And so from that revelation of who he is comes the revelation of who you are. Oh, hallelujah. I can preach now. Glory to God. Amen. That's exactly right. Now, Isaiah prophesied about the truth of all people bowing to him. You want to see this in the Old Testament prophecy is Isaiah 45 and verse 23. He said, I have sworn by myself, and the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Amen. And then we read in the New Testament a direct fulfillment of this verse, which interprets it as saying that God's name is Jesus. For he says in Philippians 2:10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. So Jesus is the highest name of all names, and there's no other name given among men whereby we might be saved. There's no salvation in any other name. There is no salvation when you invoke Melchizedek. There is no salvation when you invoke El Shaddai. Truly he is the high priest, Melchizedek. Truly he is El Shaddai, the God Almighty. But there's no salvation in those names. There's only salvation in the name Jesus. Now I'm telling you what excited us when we come into this message. Because we begin to know, Eliezer was telling us who the bridegroom was. Come on. He was letting us know, brother, he's not just a junior God or a minor God or a secondary God or a second person. He was the person of God. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. Now Peter is preaching after the day of Pentecost and the healing of the man at the gate called Beautiful. He's claiming the truth of God to them. And he says, You can pray, you can scream, you can cry in any other name and get nothing. Amen. Because you can't be saved in any other name but this name. Amen. Sure as El Shaddai, he's God Almighty, but you're still a sinner. Amen. Sure as Jehovah Rapha, he's a healer, but you're still a sinner. Amen. Certainly as Jehovah Jireh, he's a provider, but you still remain in your sins. Because there is no salvation in any other name. Because there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Amen. Now, Peter was saying they can pray. You can come like you did all these other years, call on the name of Jehovah, pray, scream, cry, and not find redemption. There's no salvation. You won't find deliverance from sin in any other name. Peter said, unless you know God by this name, by this expression of his word, by this revelation, you cannot be saved. Now, can you imagine Peter standing there, you know, and preaching to them? And he says, unless you know God by this name, by the expression of this word, you cannot be saved. Unless you know God by this name, the revelation of this name, you can't be in the rapture. You're going to go through the judgment. The persecution, the tribulation waits for you. Come on. Now, can you imagine? Let me fix this thing here. Can you imagine how this upset the people of that day? Can you imagine how angry they got? Peter gets up and declares that only in the name of Jesus, Jehovah's Savior, can you be saved. And if you don't know Jehovah by this name, you can't be saved. And if you don't know God by this name, there is no salvation. For there is no salvation in any other name. Now, 99% of the Christians today don't have that revelation. They think you can be saved by using any of his titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You cannot be saved by using titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Any more than using Jehovah Rapha or, as Isaiah called him, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. These are all titles of his being and revelations of his person. But only in the name of Jesus is there salvation. For there is no salvation in any other name. And if you want to be saved, you've got to have the name of Jesus. You must be called up by his name, and salvation only comes by invoking that name. He said, Ananias said, go and be washed, repenting of your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Saul said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. Amen. What name was he going to call on? Amen. God informed Israel that all throughout the world that they would be called by His name. Amen. He wanted a people called by His name. Amen. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee and thy storehouses and all that thou settest thy hand unto. And He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto thee, if thou keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His way. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. And they, oh my, shall be afraid of you. Amen. Listen, the devil knows this. Come on. Amen. That you're a people called by His name. Now the problem is they couldn't keep the covenant. But He promised there would be salvation where there'd become an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That there would be a covenant keeper, and it would be those people that would keep His covenant, keep His word, that they would have His name. They would become known as the people of His name. Amen. Now, all through the Bible, the name of God was to be praised. It was to be exalted. It was to be thought about. It was to be meditated upon. Psalms 34 and 3 said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Psalms 113, 1, 2, 3, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye, O His servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same." The Lord's name is to be praised. Psalms 83 and verse 16 says, "Fill their faces with shame that they may seek thy name, O Lord." So the name of God was a distinguishing factor that was given to Israel to separate them from all the other people of the earth. They were to be the people of His name. Hallelujah. In Revelation 3 and 12, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more, and go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name." They would be people of His name. Now, you know, at His birth, He was given the name Jesus. But after He died and was buried and rose again, Peter said in Acts chapter 2, 36, "Therefore let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Hallelujah. What does that mean? We are to take on His name. Lord of God, He's the way, He's the door, and you can't enter in any other way. Amen. That's why the book of Revelation says He set before them an open door. And that door, that speaks of the door opening. And what is that? The door is Christ. And if He's opening, He's revealing a portion of Himself. He's opened us strength to illuminate the Word, to glorify His name. And it was here in these last two ages that the revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ blossomed out before us. I'm reading from the church age. But we knew He was God. But how else could He be our Savior? But to know that He was only God, or God alone. That He was both Alpha and Omega. And this Jesus was both Lord and Christ, making Him Lord Jesus Christ. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all in one person. Hallelujah. He said, that has been lost since the first ages. But now we are seeing it again. The revelation of who He was has come back. Indeed, Godhead is not a three-person God with one personality. It takes personalities to make a person. If there was only one person, If there is one personality, there is but one person. But they believe in three persons, have three a Godhead, three Godhead, and are guilty of breaking the first commandments. But the revelation of Godhead is back. And now the true church can build in strength again. And after all this time, she finally knows who her Lord is. And once again, we are baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus, just as they did at Pentecost. I'm going to have a people called by my name. There's no other name given for salvation. If you want to be saved, you can't be saved without that name. There is no salvation without that name. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. None of them will save you. There's only one name that will save you. No other name given for salvation. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Not names, name. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful. But is that his name? No. Counselor. But is that his name? Mighty God. Is that his name? Prince of Peace. Is that his name? None of those are his name. But his name shall be called all of this. You see, encapsulated in the name Jesus is Wonderful, Counselor, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Every bit of it in the name Jesus. And when you say Jesus, He is wonderful. And when you say Mighty God, Jesus is the Mighty God. And when you say Everlasting Father, He is the Everlasting Father. And if you say Prince of Peace, He is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. When He says in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Father is not a name. No more than Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. None of them are His name. Are you with me? Amen. There is no salvation in the name Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You must know who the Holy Ghost is. For if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded to you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Now, the Bible does not tell us that we have life through the titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No more than it says we have life through the titles of Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. But it tells us we have life through the name Jesus. In John 20:31, but these are written that you may believe, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Life comes only through the name of Jesus. Salvation comes only through the name of Jesus. And all the other former revelations of God will not save you from sin. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we hear people say some foolish things. Well, I would rather believe what Jesus said than what Peter said. That's pretty foolish. Well, when you look at Matthew 28:19, you see those words before you that we just read. I want to just inform you, Jesus did not write those words. You know who wrote those words? Matthew did. Matthew was there on the day of Pentecost, and they fulfilled the words of Jesus by invoking that name. They all had the same instructions, and they all fulfilled the instructions of Jesus by baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Matthew didn't stand up and say, no, Peter, you got it wrong. Amen. Matthew's the one that wrote that. Amen. And when Jesus spoke of baptizing in the name singular, they didn't think of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as three different persons. They were not saying, I'm baptizing for the Father and for the Son and for the Holy Ghost. They were not thinking of three different persons. Amen. The very term Trinity, or the three-person idea, hadn't even been invented yet. It wasn't invented until some 300 years after the apostles' death. And that's when that the Trinitarian formula was made. It was conjured up by Roman Catholic priests. Amen. And when you baptize in titles instead of the name of Jesus Christ, you are being baptized into the Roman Catholic Church. And not into the Christian Church, because in the Christian Church, you take on His name. Hallelujah. Now these disciples, they came from a Jewish concept that God is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. For He explained all that in John 14. It was never that the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost was invoked in salvation. Salvation is only in the name Jesus. Is that right? Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no salvation in any other name. Peter's given the keys of the kingdom. And he told them how that they could be filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, because they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And in Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Remember, there is no other way to remit sin. Jehovah Rapha will not remit sin. El Shaddai will not remit sin. Us is a remission of sin. To get remission of sins, you must repent and then be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. Amen. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So baptism is a part of salvation. And it must be done in His name. Amen. Amen. Listen, church, I mean, I know we live in an evil day, and they just, you know, shack together and claim to be married, but that you're not married till you take on the name. There's got to be a ceremony taking on the name. Amen. And the same way with salvation, there must be a ceremony. There must be a marriage where the bride takes on the name. Mark 16:16. He that believeth. Oh, you got to believe, Brother Tim, if you believe. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Believeth and is baptized. If you believe and are baptized, then you will be saved. It's a part of salvation. It's a part of salvation. You can't be saved without taking on that name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Baptism doth now save us. Baptism doth now save us. Amen. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. See, not just the outward ceremonial washing, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. So baptism doth now save us. You are saved by baptism. It is a part. Amen. You are saved by baptism. Well, you know, and then people come along and say, well, what about the thief on the cross? He wasn't baptized, Brother Tim. And that's what a lot of people want to use as an excuse. Amen. Listen, the thief on the cross would have obeyed the word. And you have the opportunity to do it. And if you won't obey the word, then you cannot be saved. It's just that simple. But to the thief on the cross, I want to get this to you. He told him, you will be with me in paradise. In other words, he would have to be redeemed out of paradise with the rest of the Old Testament saints. Amen. So he was not a New Testament believer. He was an Old Testament believer. And Moses wasn't baptized. And many others were not baptized under the Old Covenant. But in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, if you want to be saved, you've got to be baptized in His name. And nowhere in any place in the Bible were believers ever baptized any other way than in the name of Jesus Christ. There was not one instant while being baptized, any person was ever baptized saying, I baptize you in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Every one of them were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. What did Peter preach? The name of Jesus Christ. And upon hearing the name preached, they were baptized. And then the apostles came and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And in verse 16, for as yet He was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is that right? Amen. Now, to the house of Cornelius, chapter 10, verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. You want your sins forgiven? It's through His name. It must be through the name of Jesus Christ. For there is no other name given unto men whereby you must be saved. Amen. Verse 48. And He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. In the original text before being translated into English, this is in the Greek, says in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Remission of sins is only through the name of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 24, verse 37. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance and remission of sin preached in His name. That's where we find remission of sin. Acts 10:43, to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Remission of sin doesn't come in any other name. Amen. At Corinth, Paul found believers that had been baptized. They had a ceremonial washing, but it wasn't done in the name of Jesus. Wasn't done in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? It wasn't good enough to be baptized. Amen. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what the Bible said. But Paul made it clear it wasn't just baptism. It must be done correctly. And it must be done by invoking the name of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jehovah as God is with us as a Savior. Because only in that name can you be saved. So in Acts 19, verse 1, and it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed to the upper coast unto Ephesus and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we so much not as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? You've not heard about the changing of the nature? About being born again? You've not heard about being filled with deity, which is that new nature? Well, then how were you baptized? And they said, well, under John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying that unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And once they obeyed his word and he laid hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Amen. So how do you get your sins washed away? Amen. Let's go back to what Paul said in Acts 22:16. And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Not calling on the name of titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but on the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So what is the name of the Lord? It is in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The name of the Lord was Jesus. Because he asked, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. He knew the name of the Lord. He knew the Lord of the Old Testament was Jesus in the New Testament. How do you get your sins washed away? By being baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. What was the instruction of Peter? Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Calling on the name of the Lord. Invoking the name of the Lord. Call on that name, because there is no salvation in any other name. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Glory to God. Paul tells us we are justified and declared righteous, our sins washed away, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of our God. It's all done in his name. Amen. I'm trying to hurry. Come on, help me pull just a little more. Don't hang up on me. And Philippians 2 and 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians 1 and 20 says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. And it put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over to the all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. Glory to God. Amen. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only the name in this world, but in the world to come. Hallelujah. This name is the name of God as Savior in this world and the world to come. Hallelujah. Are you with me? In this world and the world to come. This is the greatest name of God ever revealed. And in him you are revealed. Hallelujah. He wants you identified by his name. Now, you know, there's a church that is marked by God as Mr. Babylon, mother of harlots, as one that is not his own. Come on. Exactly right. You know that's why it's wrong to be called by any other name than the name of Jesus? To be called Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, Pentecostal, or any other name is to take on the name of the woman, the church, instead of the man, Christ Jesus. We are not Methodists, Baptists, Catholic, Pentecostal. We are sons and daughters of God. And we bear His name in baptism. And we take on His name. Hallelujah. And every believer is a Christian because he's Christ-like. Amen. Having His name is all it takes. Now I'm just going to tell you, we live in a day of computer science. And you can do a simple search with your computer throughout all the Bible using the words 1, 2, 3, and Lord and God. And that will prove there are never, never, ever numbers 2 and 3 used as descriptors of God. Are you with me? Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Then in the New Testament, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There are never 2 lords or 3 lords. Amen. Amen. Listen, we're going backwards when we take our God and make Him into 2 lords. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. But you know, modern Trinitarians always and constantly uses the numbers 3 and 2 as descriptors of God. God is never described in the Bible as 2 or 3. He's only described as one, and His name is one. You know, if the Trinitarian thought was true, there should be at least one single descriptor given as God is 2 or 3. But there's not one case in the entire Bible that ever speaks of 2 lords or 3 gods or 3 persons in the Godhead or 2 persons. God is one and His name is one, and Jesus is the name above all names. Amen. And while we should all understand the humanity of Jesus Christ, we should also understand His deity. In Him, in His human vessel, dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Listen, the Bible never one time says that Jesus was in the Godhead. Amen. But it said the Godhead was in Jesus. All of God dwelt in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Zechariah 14 and 9. And when the Lord shall be king, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and in that day there shall be one Lord, and His name one. Amen. The Lord shall be king over all the earth, and when He becomes king over your earth, over your flesh, when you become saved, and a new king sits down on the throne of your heart, in that day there shall be one Lord and His name one. For you cannot be saved without the revelation of that name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Are you with me now? Amen. He gave Him a name which is above every name. Every name. I want to tell you tonight, His name is greater than lust. His name is greater than sodomy. His name is greater than perversion. His name is greater than drugs. His name is greater than alcohol. Everything has to bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! His name is greater than sin. His name is greater than cancer. Demons start screaming at the mention of that name. His name is greater than diabetes. His name is greater than arthritis. His name is greater than depression. There is no name greater than this name. Hallelujah, that at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow. Every demon has to say, He is the ruler.
They will obey that name. And there is a people called by that name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. His name is greater. It's greater than any problem. It's greater than any sin. It's greater than any situation. Hallelujah. This name is the highest name ever given. Hallelujah. Cancer has to obey it. Every demon has to obey it. Sin has to obey it. Depression has to go. At the mention of that name, they bow, they fall. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess. Hallelujah. Every tongue should confess. Amen. That Jesus Christ is Lord, ruler, supreme ruler. Everything else has to bow to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's not a problem too great. There's not a situation too hard. There's not a sickness. There's not a devil that can stand before the name of Jesus. And you bear that name. You bear that name. His name was given to you. Therefore, he said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Those that bear that name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Hallelujah. Eliezer, Eliezer, who is that that walketh in the field to meet us? It is my master. It is my Lord. It's my King. He's my Savior. Hallelujah. We're people of that name tonight. Amen. Taking on the name of our bridegroom. Hallelujah. Isn't it time we lift up that name? Isn't it time we worship him tonight? Isn't it time we give him praise? For there is no name to be exalted like this name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There is no name like that name. Oh, glory to God. What a name. The name of Jesus. The name of our bridegroom. The name of our King. We owe no allegiance to any other. We owe our allegiance to him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Just speak that name tonight. Just speak that name. You say, I've been under depression. Amen. I've been under physical bondage. I've been under spiritual bondage. I've been under sin's darkness. Speak that name tonight. Demons tremble at that name. Hallelujah. That at the name of Jesus, every knee bows. Every tongue has to confess. That he's ruler, master, master, ruler. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Exalt his name, all ye people. He is God triumph, who never lost a battle, who is the victorious one, who is here tonight, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God.
Amen. He is higher than the highest. He's more greater than the great. No one could ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest, and he reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love.
Let's just love him tonight.
He is higher than the highest. He's more greater than the great. No one should ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest, and he reigns from above. He's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love.
Let's sing it one more time tonight. Just remind the devil.
Oh, he is higher than the highest. He is greater than the great. Oh, no one could ever take his crown away. He's more mighty than the mightiest. He reigns from above. Who oh, he's the all-time undisputed, undefeated champion of love.
Is that your king tonight? Is that your king tonight? That at the name of Jesus, every demon has to bow. You're standing there with a disease in your body tonight. You don't have to walk out of this building. Satan has been put aware again tonight. Just like the prophet of God stood there night after night after night and told the devil that you are stripped of every bit of your... Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? You have been reminded who you are. Oh, hallelujah. The great lawyer began to take the books down off of the shelves, and he went through Genesis and through Deuteronomy and through... And every question that Satan would like to bring before you tonight, it just got described before you in intricate detail. He is the King. He is my Savior. He is my deliverer tonight. He is my healer tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Don't you love him tonight? Maybe you'd just like to raise your hand before and just say, Brother Ron, I need prayer. I need prayer this afternoon. Hallelujah. Hands up all over the building. Hands up all over the building. You've heard it. You've heard it tonight. that every one of us bear the name of Jesus, that have been baptized in His name. Won't you take that hand that God provided for you? Brother to a brother, sister to a sister, husband to a wife. Won't you lay your hand over on them right now? Lord Jesus, tonight, upon the authority of Your word this afternoon, we take Your word and we proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, the name the disciples declared, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. May every sickness that's in this building today, hallelujah, be defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. May every sin sickness be defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. We proclaim a jubilee tonight. A jubilee tonight that we are free. Hallelujah. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Satan, take your hands off of God's property right here this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. All healed.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Oh, oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Do you believe it or not? Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.
Let's just sing it to Him tonight.
Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Oh, there's an army that's rising up.
Hallelujah!
Oh, there's an army rising up. Oh, there's an army rising up. Oh, hallelujah. to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.
Hallelujah. 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 Maybe you have been wrestling with those spiritual demons. Pornography. All of the things that would come against your life. And there's just things that you can't overcome tonight. Would there be one here that would be honest and say, Brother Ron, I want to be honest before the presence of the Lord, which is, I just need help with a certain situation. Just raise it before the Lord right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 There's a power in this building to set you free right here. You've heard enough word right here this evening to set you free. Hallelujah. Just raise your hand before Him right now and say, Lord, I just want to be honest with you tonight. I want you to take that out of my life. I've had a word here tonight that set me free. And I'm not going to be a slave to that thing no longer. I'm not going to walk back out of this building and put on those chains never again. I'm never going to put on those chains again. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Just let Him speak to your hearts. Hallelujah. One more time.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed by the word this evening? I just have to say it can't be put any better than that right there. It just can't be put any better than that right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If there's any question that as you walk out of this building tonight, and maybe the enemy would come back to you and say, but you still got some circumstances. You're still a slave to a certain thing in your life. Won't you just call the name of Jesus Christ? He's heard that name before. He's heard that name before. Now, Moses didn't scare him very bad. Even William Marion Branham didn't scare him very bad. But the name of Jesus Christ, it shakes hell. And maybe you think you might be important here tonight if your name, Ronald Spencer, doesn't shake hell. But the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, living on the inside of here, takes over this sin-cursed earth. and I can live a redeemed life. I can live a redeemed life when the name of the Lord Jesus Christ lives here. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word. It's almost beyond words that when the scripture says heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass. Oh God, your word has been delivered this afternoon. And when we recognize that we're a part of that tonight, we're the queen of heaven. And as his queen, we received his name. We were baptized in your name. We were saved in your name. Redeemed by your name. We're your children today, Father. And we have that mark upon our foreheads. The name of Jesus. We're identified with that. That makes us identified for the rapture. Oh God, how we love you tonight. How we thank you for your servant, Lord. I pray that you would rest Brother Tim and come and just touch his life. Lord, he gave a piece of his life tonight. And we're all eternally grateful for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for coming by our way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't have to ask you, did you enjoy that tonight? I don't have to ask you. Amen. As we come to the end of this service tonight, we still have the next one. I would like to say that tomorrow, as the next one is preached, that we start taking a body change. I'm kind of getting under that expectation that it could happen in any service. And I kind of felt like it was getting ready to happen to me tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going together tomorrow night tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock here, and then there will be a dinner afterwards. And we certainly do appreciate the sisters that have labored so hard to prepare that. And we appreciate every effort that has went forth so far in the meeting and every visitor who's come. If I haven't got to shake your hand just yet, you know that Brother Ron loves you anyway, and I wouldn't slight you whatsoever. But we certainly love you, and we certainly thank you for being here. There are some snacks that are outside. I don't know for sure how many that there are. They just said there were some potato chips and things like that that was left over from last night. And Sister Connie has all that prepared for you out there, and some drinks and some waters and all of that. And you say, well, if I didn't get any, Brother Ron, well, I've got really good news for you. There's a McDonald's right down here. And there's a Burger King right up here. Amen. And the last time I looked around in my mirror, I wasn't starving, so it's going to be all right. Amen. Don't you love the Lord this evening? Amen. Just remember also that this is a four-lane highway here, and this may sound redundant to you, but it's been a real scary situation when somebody turned left and went up the wrong side of that four-lane highway. And they had just listened to us say this. So please listen to these words. That is a four-lane highway. Do not turn left, turn right. And amen. So we certainly appreciate that. And then you just go and make a U-turn. And if you're headed back toward Harrisonburg, you know how far it is. And brother, I'm trying my best to get my brain racked around this. Hard to come from a sermon like that to say dismissed, isn't it? Brother Alden, amen. Anything that I need to, amen. Well, thank the Lord. Isn't he good to us? Amen. Do me a favor here real quick. If you'll just reach over to your neighbor and say, Brother Ron loves you. Now, I'm not going to leave it at that. Tell them Jesus loves you too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't he good to us? Amen. We love you with all of our hearts tonight. I believe so. These are some of the greatest services I've ever sat in my life. To me, I've had a personal revival sitting right over there. I trust that the same presence that I felt and these brothers have preached under, you've been under as well. And so we certainly love you tonight. We thank you for being here. God bless you. Brother Andrew is going to dismiss you, and the brothers will dismiss you row by row. God bless you.
Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have a victory. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. For when we come in the name of Jesus,